Hi, everyone. This is Heather Vickery, and you've tuned in to this week's episode of the Brave Files podcast. I'm so very happy to have you here with us today. And before we get started, I have to ask, have you heard about our Create Brave cards? This 48-card deck is a beautifully designed resource to help you get creative and brave, to think outside of the box, to think creatively, to approach your next steps in ways that you might not have thought of before, and to manifest the life and maybe the business of your dreams. We are currently promoting a Kickstarter for the Create Brave cards, and there are only a few days left in the Kickstarter. So I really hope that you will go and check it out. If you haven't already backed us, I'd love to have you do that. This is the best price you're ever going to get the cards for, so it's amazing, and it's a wonderful opportunity to help us expand and grow. And then I really hope you'll share the Kickstarter with others. We are fully funded, which is amazing and exciting, and we're looking to unlock one last stretch goal before the Kickstarter ends in just a few days. You can learn more by visiting vickeryandco.com/createbrave. Now, on to today's episode. This is a good one, y'all. Today's guest and I talk about some pretty badass things, but they all center around one wildly powerful concept. The most badass thing you can do is be who you are. Even though outside factors can help us realize the action we need to take, it's actually up to us to take that action. It's about being true to who you are every day. It's your job to take one small step forward no matter what. And sometimes that small step forward can be slowing down or saying no. It doesn't mean full steam ahead. It just means knowing who you are, who you want to be in the world, and how you're going to move through it. Some days these steps feel like grand leaps, and sometimes they may seem so insignificant that we don't even notice them, but they build on one another and they create unimaginable impact. It's true, friends. The bravest thing you can do is be yourself.
Gratitude, flow, grit.
This is Heather Vickery, and you're listening to The Brave Files, stories from people living courageously. When we choose bravely in big and small ways, it powerfully elevates our lives. I hope these stories connect with you and encourage you to embrace bravery in every possible way, day after day. Together, we can build a movement of courageous living that enriches both our lives and our communities. And if you enjoy the show, I ask you to please share it with others. Maybe think of someone who you want to choose bravely right alongside you. Thanks for tuning in. Now here's the show. All right, friends, today I am chatting with, let's see if I can get this right. I second guess myself every time. Helen Thermethic. It's not hard. Helen Thermethic.
Tremethic.
Tremethic. C-C-T. Oh, you can leave it in, Andrew. Sometimes we all look like fools. Helen Tremethic. I can do it eventually. About the concept of becoming and what it means to truly grow into ourselves. Helen is a brand voice strategist. She's a business coach, and she helps entrepreneurs find the courage, confidence, and clarity they need to grow and scale their business. But today is all about the important personal journey towards becoming and being authentic. Helen, welcome to the Brave Files.
Thanks, Heather. So glad to be here.
We had a whole conversation about how to pronounce your name. I had it all ready, and then I got all up in my head when it was time to say it. So I apologize.
No worries at all. It's really common. I like to say it's like tremendous and terrific had a baby because it's so egotastic and wonderful.
That's so fantastic. I love it. But, you know, I like to be honest about shit like that because that could be really humiliating, and we could be like, oh, let's make it look like I never make a mistake when I'm doing an interview. And y'all, that's not real. That doesn't help us become.
No.
That doesn't help us be authentic or our truths.
Exactly. Exactly.
So if nothing else, it gives listeners the opportunity to know that we are all perfectly human.
Mm-hmm. Indeed. Perfectly flawless and human.
Yeah. Flawless, flawed, all of it.
All of it.
I'm so excited to chat with you. We were connected by a guest I had in the past, Audrey Holtz, which was awesome. Mm-hmm. And Audrey's, we'll link to Audrey's interview. It was a really fun interview. So when cool people introduce me to cool people, I'm always really excited about it. And we do some similar type work in the coaching space. I love that your everything is all about badass. Tell folks what your business name is.
Well, my business name is under the umbrella Helen Tremethic, but my real focus, my methodology, my framework, all of that is love and badassery, which is such a fun concept. It thinks about the pendulum of putting all of our energy into our care, but also with that comes leaky boundaries and people pleasing, and then all of our energy into being the most badass, fuck and shit all over the place, breaking all of the rules, and also comes with that sometimes like conflict with clients, and there is a way to find balance with the love and the badassery. We need all of your care, and we also need your quirks and your you-ness. And so my framework, all of the work that I do, is kind of under that love and badassery model.
I totally dig that. As you know, my framework for everything is Brave, and they complement each other so nicely. My first question, though, Helen, is how did you land here? Like, what was your process of becoming to get here? Because this is somewhat, for lack of a better term, an enlightened space. We want it to be like, duh, it's so obvious, but it's really hard, especially for women in today's society, to get to a point where we think we can be a badass and be filled with love, where we think we can have whatever we want. So what was your journey like?
Oh, sure. And I want to say, here's the disclaimer before I start into, you know, story time, is that this process is ongoing, always. Yes. It is always a journey. There isn't a destination in this becoming space, because once we get to the place that we wanted to be, we have a new goal.
That's right.
Especially if you're an entrepreneur, we are high achievers. We have high standards for ourselves, and we are always moving the goalpost on ourselves. Always. So this process of becoming is ongoing.
I love that. I always tell my clients that, you know, it's not like you're going to climb to the very top of the mountain and then put your flag in and declare victory and just be done. Like, that's not the way it works.
It doesn't work that way, because you're like, oh shit, look at that mountain. I want to climb that one now.
Exactly.
Yeah. And so, you know, we're all travelers, we're all journeyers in this. But the first time that I really felt a desire, a deep groundedness in me needing to be me, was back in high school. And, you know, I'm sure even before that, I have always been the one who heard the rules and then kind of did it my way. I was the one who...
I've never been like that in my life.
Oh, I'm sure. Never, not ever.
My mother's listening going, excuse me.
Right? And it's... I wanted to speak a little bit about that badass rebel, is that it doesn't always look like overtly smoking cigarettes in dark sunglasses, you know, with your other hand raising a middle finger. It doesn't necessarily look like that. Sometimes it can look a lot more subtle. And I like to think that in this society where being the status quo, performing to the status quo, is what's expected of us, being who we are is just about the most badass thing that we can do. So the first time that I really leaned into that was back in high school, when I was taking drama classes, and I'm from Canada. In that time, we had OAC, which was grade 13. And you took grade 13 if you wanted to go on to university, or you could graduate at grade 12 if you wanted to go on to college. It was a bit convoluted. That's why they've gotten rid of it now. But back then, I was taking drama grade 11, drama grade 12. And at the end of grade 12, our drama teacher said, "Hey, who here in the room is going to take OAC drama?" And among others, I put up my hand. And many of the others who put up their hands were the singers, the dancers, the ones that performed in the musicals. And I did a lot of sets and painting and script writing.
Yeah.
And I put up my hand. And she pulled me aside after class and said, "Helen, I really don't think this is for you."
Oh.
And, you know, I mean, you know, we're going to move forward a second. And adult Helen says, "What the fuck, teacher? Really? Like, you don't break teenagers' hearts. They're already getting broken all over the place." And it broke my heart a little bit. It did. I thought, wow, you know, all of those stories of I'm not good enough, I'll never be good enough, came forward for me in that moment. The teacher says I shouldn't. But you know what? Like, fuck that shit. I needed an OAC credit. I had already done drama for a few years already, and I was taking it, so I did. I did anyway. And I showed up. Part of our grade 13 projects was to do a monologue. This monologue, if it was chosen as one of the better ones, would be performed in front of all of the English classes, all of the drama classes, and all of the grade 11s, which in my high school worked out to be somewhere between 300 and 500 people, depending on the day.
Wow.
It was a big high school, yes.
Yeah.
And so, fast forward, of course, we know the way this story goes. One of my monologue was chosen to be as one of the best ones. I had chosen something really dark. It was about a woman whose husband kept dirtying her tea towels with grease from the garage and these oil stains, and she murders him and cleans up the blood with the tea towels. Yeah, so it was a very dark and twisted monologue to bring forward to the high school to begin with. And anyway, I did it. The first joke didn't land. I think people were a little like, "Who is this person?" "Who is this person?" And then somebody laughed. And then somebody else laughed. And then they realized that it was supposed to be funny. And at the end, I got a standing ovation. And it was one of the most joyous moments of my life. In part because I was told I couldn't. And did anyway. And as I left the stage, my drama teacher from grade 12 was the first one to greet me and said, "I knew you could do it all along. I knew you could do it all along," she said.
Did you want to punch her in the throat? Because I want to punch her in the throat.
I wanted
right
to punch her in the throat. I didn't. I didn't. And to this day, I'm regretful. No, I'm not. I'm not regretful that I didn't punch her in the throat, but I really did. I really wanted to. Yeah, but this was a really pinnacle moment for me, especially looking back at it now, having been in business for 10 years, having had a number of positions before the business I have now, that this moment was really pinnacle for me in terms of coming home to yourself. What do I know is true about me, about what I want for my life, about what my goals are? What do I know is true? And so that belonging piece wasn't in the room of the people who laughed at the jokes. It wasn't in the room with the standing ovation, although in part it was. But that belonging piece was inside myself. And so that's the real work. Coming back to who we are, what we know is true, and doing that work. Because that is the most badass we can be, is being who we are.
I'm just going to pause for a moment. Because it's true, and it's terrifying, and it's hard. Even when it's not hard anymore. Even for me, and I tell my origin story, my coming out story, my brave aha moment story, you know, multiple times a week. And still sometimes I go, "Oh, it's hard."
Yes. Yes, because the process is ongoing and grief isn't linear. Trauma isn't linear. Therapy isn't linear. Healing isn't linear. None of it is linear. And so when we revisit these moments, we also revisit the pieces of us who felt that really deeply.
Yeah. I love that. And so you figured, as we've already identified, we're never there. It's an ongoing process. But you figured out this was the road you wanted to be on, I think, much earlier than an awful lot of people do. Some of us maybe are just predispositioned to pushing back against the boundaries of the expectations. I always joke that I got into entrepreneurship because I realized very early on that I worked well with people, but not for people. And so I just wasn't going to.
Proudly unemployable.
Very much so. Oh my gosh. And that's a terrifying thing to say also. And some people will look at me like I have lost my mind if I'm like, oh yeah, nobody wants me to work for them. I don't do that well, but I can work really well with you. And they're like, what? Okay. So as you moved through your life, would you share some other moments, some other experiences where you've had deep knowing of the becoming or of the growing or holy shit, I'm totally standing in my ownness here, that are just sort of your aha moments? Because what I would love for listeners to take away from this conversation is how they can find those moments for themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So these moments, they're often separate from my body, if you like. This is a kind of a strange and ethereal thing to say. But when I am in a moment of that deeper knowing, I am not, there is a bigness about it that isn't specific to being in my body. Does that make sense? That there is this kind of, I don't know, luminousness to it, that it goes beyond myself. And you can feel that. You can feel that in that moment when you know you need to walk away from the job. When you can feel that in that moment where you need to pivot altogether. Sometimes you can feel it in that moment when you're about to embark on the plane or the stage or what have you. So other moments for me, one very, very recent moment was when I went through a rebrand of my company. This is last year. I've mentioned earlier, I've been doing this for 10 years under the name The Communications Distillery. And last year, my business coach said to me, you know, Helen, the word communications is holding you back because you do more than communications. It's not just communicating that you do. I mean, yes, that's part of it, but that's more the result of the work that you do than it is the thing. And in that moment, you know, you can't unhear things. And there was this bigness. There was this moment where I realized that nothing, I couldn't go back to running the communications distillery the way that I did yesterday, because that moment changes everything. And so it doesn't always have to come from inside. The impetus doesn't always have to come from inside, but the action steps do. So in that knowing, yes, I wanted to take drama as an OAC credit, or yes, I knew that I needed to change something in my business. The action step is ours to take in order to make that becoming active, in order to make that coming home to yourself active.
And can you clarify for everyone, when you say coming home to yourselves, what is it that you're saying?
What I'm speaking about is authenticity, but in a very definitive sense, not in an authentic, washed thing that has been happening in the marketing industry in the last few years. I'm talking about really who you are. So when you're communicating who you are to the world, whether that's in business or in life, I'm not necessarily saying airing out all of your dirty laundry. You can,
right?
But I am talking about being true to you, like a capital T true to you.
I love that. And I think for some people, it's such a scary concept because, like, what if they don't like me? What if I'm not good enough? And it's been my experience, and with all of my clients, especially the members of my Intentionally Brave Entrepreneurs program, it's simply looking at the actual evidence of your life, the times where you've put your truest self out and people have said, yeah, come on in. Yeah, I like you. Let's be friends. You hold my hand. Right. And so, and that's not always going to work. And some people won't like it. And we have to decide we don't care. But that sort of leads me to something that I think is hilariously amazing. We were chatting right before we started interviewing. You said our swear words a lot. I was like, oh, I love swear words. And that's something when you are being your authentic self, when you're marketing yourself. We were talking specifically about the word fuck and how we both use that word.
And like
in our products and our in our and what'd you say?
And like it.
And like it. Yeah, love it. To me, that's one of the ways that you sort of stand in that authenticity is not being afraid that somebody else isn't going to like it. Owning stuff like that to me is so impactful and joyful.
Exactly. And to even take that further forward, that if you don't use the word fuck, if you feel uncomfortable about it, if it isn't really you, then don't use it. And you have permission to not use it because it's not you. And so that coming home to yourself also means not templating who you are into somebody else, to that next guru that you see online, because you know, as apes, we like to mimic. And so we often will find people who are doing work really well in the world, or we think so, and then we'll start kind of putting on their style. So the coming back home to yourself is also noticing that. Is this me or is it not me? And being okay with that.
Yes. I spend so much time with folks defining what success means for them, because they're also convinced they want to have what that person down the street has, or they want to be Glennon Doyle, or whatever it is that they aspire to. And I'm like, yeah, but that's not yours. What's yours?
Mm-hmm.
And your success and your authenticity and your truth is 100% not going to look exactly like somebody else's. That will never happen.
Yes, exactly. Exactly. So why make it so? Why try and make it that? So coming back home to yourself is really all about figuring out what you believe in, what are your most important values, how do you want to shine in the world? And then working with that knowledge, like you just said, what does your success look like? And working with that in order to make shit happen.
I like that a lot. Was this always a knowingly brave journey for you? Did it feel like, oh, I'm doing big stuff, or was it just you?
That's a really good question. I think on the honest answer, Heather, is it depends on the day. That some days I feel like...
Fair enough.
This is,
I love that.
Thanks. Some days I feel like this is really big, important work, that it is connected to my destiny, etc. And some days I am, you know, biting my nails, and other days this is just who I am, and there isn't any like grand destiny about it. I'm just Helen. So I think it really depends on the day, and that's feels important for me to share, because
yeah.
I think we often think that everybody always has all their shit together. Once you've yep. been in business for a while, then you definitely have your shit together.
Wrong answer.
Yeah. Because it depends on the day. You know, like right back to what we were saying, we are all human, and you know, we have human feelings and human experiences, and that means that some days are better than others. And some days it will feel like your grand destiny, and some days it'll feel like you're winging it. Most days it'll feel like something in between.
Yeah. I'm so glad that you said that, because so often I hear people kind of seeking permission to not have it all figured out. And let's be very clear, none of us have it all figured out. Some of us have maybe figured out how to have it figured out like a little bit more often than others. But so much of it is about, you know, I coach and teach the Brave Method. And one of the most important, impactful parts of that is the three R's, reassessment, reframing, resilience. Listen, a system any kind of system, whether it's a morning routine or a weekly team meeting or how often you check your email, a system may work really well for you for a week or a month or a year, and then it doesn't anymore. And then you change it. And that this is the same thing. Like some days you work really well. Everything just checks off like it's supposed to, and you feel like you're skipping through your day. And some days is the best you can do to just get out of the fetal position.
Absolutely. And, you know, something I talk to a lot of my clients about is that our job is to take one step forward. And sometimes those steps will look like grand leaps, but it's only because we've taken a bunch of steps already. And so if on that day, all you can do is get out of bed, that is a fine step forward. And other days, you'll do a lot of steps. And that's really just the way that progress looks. So your job is really just to do one step forward in your direction.
I love that. I think it's really, yes. Yes, y'all, listen to that. And that's all the whole point of why Helen and I are having this conversation and doing it in a public forum for you to all hear it, is that the process of becoming, of growing into yourself, looks different every day, sometimes every minute of the day. It looks very different from the people you look up to and admire, from the people that look up to and admire you. And I would say, and I'd be really curious to hear what you say, was maybe the first step. But I wonder if the first step is simply allowing that one fact to be true.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would totally agree with that. Allowing that one fact to be true. If you can come back to what you know is true about you, that's a really good place to start.
Yeah, it is a really good place to start. You seem like somebody who probably has a routine, like a morning routine or an evening routine. Do you routine?
I would like to say that I routine, but yes, I'm totally very well organized. I am organized, but only really because if I don't organize myself, I tend to fall apart. And so the structure is necessarily in place. The structure is the mortar to the bricks of my life. Do I have a morning routine that looks like up at 5 a.m., you know, meditate, yoga, etc.? No. No, I do not. I live a big, bold, and beautiful life over here. So my morning often looks like a chaos sequence of varying dependents requiring being fed and walked and watered. But I do always meditate every day, sometimes well, and oftentimes not well. You know, I did a Vipassana 10-day silent meditation retreat one time, and, you know, I remember coming out of there thinking that, you know, a room full of meditators it looks very quiet, but it's one of the loudest places that you could ever be in. It's, you know, you have 40 people sitting there on their mats, but they're 40 people who are trying to not think about their grocery list or that conversation that they had or what they would have said or what they need to do next. So I meditate every morning, and I do make a plan every week of what my weekly schedule looks like so that I stay on top of deliverables. I like structure that has flexibility because life requires flexibility.
I like the way you say that. And that's definitely the space that I most lean into, is structure with flexibility, because things shift and change. And it's so much harder when they shift and change if we are resistant to that. I have non-negotiable, so I visualize. I don't meditate. It's very similar, visualizing and meditating. It feels easier for me to do when I call it visualizing than meditating. So that's what I call it. And I do it for like 5 minutes a day. And that and my morning coffee in the sunny spot of my house is the only thing that I will regularly commit to every day, no matter what's happening in the day. But those are my non-negotiables. What are your non-negotiables?
Yeah, I would say that's it. That's it is non-negotiable. I am a much better person when I have meditated. I'm not a bad person. In fact, I'm quite a good one. But if I don't meditate, there are question marks around that. So, you know, for the sake of myself, as well as all of the people I love in this world, I meditate every day. That is non-negotiable. Green tea in the morning. I used to drink coffee. I used to love coffee and swear that I would never, ever give it up. But alas, here I am drinking green tea and enjoying it very much. So those are my two non-negotiables for certain, as well as, you know, I love my family so much. And so, you know, my partner, my child, dog, cats, etc. That's, mm-hmm. Yeah, non-negotiables.
Yes. You have chickens, right?
Chickens and ducks. Yeah.
Chickens and ducks. We have two baby chicks. So this episode will not air for a few weeks. And my baby chicks will probably be cohabitating in my neighbor's yard because we're co-parenting chickens. But I'm having the most fun right now. I think people who find me on Instagram right now think all I do is raise chicks, which is not true. It's just that I take a lot of pictures of them. They're getting their little tail feathers and they grow so fast. But we're getting four. This is my favorite thing to tell anybody. I don't know. This is not relevant to the story, but I'm very excited about it. Four adult hens, and we've decided to name them after the Golden Girls.
Oh, amazing. Oh, that's so fun.
So they will, once they're big, they will live in a coop in my neighbor's yard. But right now, they absorb all of our non-committed time. And I love it.
I don't spend a lot of time with our birds, in part because before we got them, I was quite afraid of birds.
Oh, fascinating.
You know, and I'm referencing now a childhood moment where I was in England. I was eating a packet of crisps and there were a bunch of chickens that were flying up trying to get my crisps. I know now that the problem was really that I was much smaller and couldn't really hold the chips out of the way. And so it like, but childhood memory.
Yeah, but there's no space for logic when
there's
you have
no
a fear.
There's no space for logic. And, you know, damn it, my packet of crisps, right? Mm-hmm, so, mm-hmm. So yeah, I was really, and I'm still a little bit mistrusting of them, although I can now like pick them up and be around them and not worry if I'm taking the compost out and turn around and see 20 of them chasing me, which is a regular thing. But I honestly, like now that we've had them for a couple of years, I feel like they've really just become a part of our lives here. You know, we live on a farm. We teach permaculture education here. And another thing that we do is we sell eggs to our mm-hmm. neighbors. We're not our neighbors. We don't really have any, but you know, the next town up and such. And that is such a beautiful part. I mean, we've been talking, Heather, about
the community there. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. About the community and how important that is to like coming home to yourself, that becoming piece that kind of surprisingly for me, that these birds have sort of are part of my becoming.
I see that. I mean, I really see that. What I love about that story, so I started going off on my bird tangent just because I knew that you had them also. But what came from that is how you have developed, you said, fuck fearless. Like, I'm still afraid of these birds, but I'm going to surround myself with them because there's more that's worth it than not worth it. I'm twisting your words, but that's what I'm hearing is there's way more benefit than me being scared of them.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And so in a way it's fuck fear, in a way it's fuck fearless, right? It's both. Like there are far more benefits to having these birds around than, you know, because we get their eggs, we get their meat, you know, our child, who is an only child on a farm during a global pandemic, goes outside and plays with them. And so that's also a real beautiful benefit. And there's far more of a benefit than continuing to be afraid. And this works as a really great metaphor for life, right? For life, for
it
business,
really
for
does.
All of it. That, you know, like you could look at this as a cost-benefit analysis, like the cost of staying afraid versus like the benefits of, you know, taking that next step forward.
Yep. See, things always work out. The universe has our back. It wasn't a total tangent. It was a great lesson. It's just trust my tangents more often. That no, that's awesome. But actually, I think that leads really nicely into the next question, because when we can experience those things, be aware of experiencing those things, move with that flow of knowing that we are in that process of growing and becoming and trusting and being and bravery and badassery and all of that, it leaves us with so much to celebrate if we stop and pause and pay attention. And so I would love to know how you like to celebrate all the things, big or small.
Thanks. I love this question because it's something that I ask my clients as well. Celebration is so important because when we do it, we are telling our bodies, remember this. Remember this moment. Look, you did something. We're like acknowledging the accomplishment. And so I celebrate quietly, like internally, in that, yeah, I did that. I want to try to take it in. And a practice that I've been doing recently that I'm turning into a habit is whenever somebody pays me a compliment, I look into their eyes and accept it, which is...
That's huge.
Huge. It's huge. We're trained, you know, whether that's directly or indirectly, to kind of look down or pass it off or, you know, become shy about it. And so I'm trying to actively, physically open my chest, look into their eyes, say thank you, and take a moment to allow those words in me. And then I also, I tell people about my accomplishments. That kind of external validation is really just so lovely.
It's a really important part of the process, because part of what makes celebration so wonderful is it builds community. It has the opportunity to build connection and community.
Indeed. And so internally, I'm saying, yes, I did that. But I'm also saying, hey, everyone, look, I did that. And so it's a bit of a double whammy, right? Like, it really kind of starts to help my body integrate that celebration. I'm also not opposed to like a bubbly drink.
Right? Me either. No, those were lovely. I love hearing everybody's answer to this. And some people really don't want to answer it. We have to find out, like pull out of them how they celebrate, because sometimes it's so small that they're not aware. I especially love, though, your celebration of accepting a compliment, which is something very challenging to do. I just read the funniest meme the other day that's like, why is it that women in the Midwest, and so I don't know why we're stereotyping women in the Midwest, but why is it that when you compliment the outfit of someone in the Midwest, they have to say, oh, thanks, I got it from Target. Like, why do we have to do that? Why do I have to be like, I'm glad you like it. It was really cheap. Don't think I paid a lot for my outfit. You know, whatever. Simply saying thank you is a full sentence, and it is worth celebrating.
Exactly. Exactly. Thank you is a full sentence, and it is worth celebrating. We do not need to diminish ourselves, our brilliance, our wardrobe, or any of it. Not at all.
No. I love that. That's magical. And I appreciate that we've reminded everybody who's listening that celebration, just like success, looks different for everyone. And really, it's just you deciding that that's a thing that feels great and it's worthy of being acknowledged and quote unquote celebrated. Mm-hmm. So that's so cool. I think, Helen, one day when the world reopens, we'll just have to find a time and come and hang out, because I think that you're my people. So that's cool. But we do need to get close to wrapping up this conversation. So I get to ask you one of my favorite questions, which is, what is your favorite charitable organizations to support?
I love that you asked this. And I think, as you probably already know about me, my charity work is hyper local. So I have recently, in the last few years, so we moved to this property, this farm property, almost 3 years ago. And so for the last few years, I've been involved with a local arts and music festival. It's a very, very rural community, very focused on agriculture and bringing arts and music to this community is kind of a radical act. And
love
it's
that.
Been really wonderful. over the last few years, and of course, global pandemic. So, you know, street festivals aren't happening as much anymore. So we have on the property here, we have refocused our charitable work to work with an organization called Seeds of Diversity, which focuses on, among other things, food and seed biodiversity. So, you know, we're losing a lot of our seed biodiversity, meaning that we're losing a lot of the different species of foods because we're getting very fixed on, you know, broccoli, apples, oranges, bananas, etc., and not on the breadth of food that used to be available. So Seeds of Diversity, we're working with them to, they do a number of things like community grow outs and seed libraries and things like that, but this year we'll be working with them to grow out a few different rare varieties. They need people to grow out the seeds and send back the seeds so that they remain viable for generations to come. And so that's what we'll be doing this year.
I love that organization. I think it's amazing. And it's okay that it's hyper-local, because folks, if you're into it, see if you can find an organization like that that's hyper-local to you. In either case, they will be our charity of the week. We will give them lots of love, and we ask our listeners to give them some love as well, whether that means you're liking and sharing, or if you have something to give, time, money, whatever that is, please do so. Thank you so much for sharing them with us.
Thank you.
All right, Helen, will you give your three words one last time?
Sure will do. Gratitude, flow, grit.
I love those words. And I think we didn't use the words gratitude and flow, but I think that, well, we probably did say flow. We really touched on that. I'd love to just hear your thoughts on grit and why you picked that word.
Yeah, I really like grit because it speaks to that imperfect human. It speaks to the flawed nature of things. It speaks to the unexpected. It speaks to the desire to use words like fuck and smash the patriarchy and ditch the status quo. That grittiness, that inner rebellion, however it shows up, I like the word grit because it acknowledges the humanness of it all.
Yes. Yes, 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 yes. I love the word grit. Also, I loved the book Grit by Angela Duckworth. You're familiar with Angela's work, I assume, right?
I am, yes.
She's amazing. So listeners, if you're not, go just find her TED Talk. She's so wild. It's so cool. But grit is an amazing word, and it is a word that reminds us that we sit in our perfectly imperfectness as humans who are becoming and growing and just on the journey. That's how I close out my coaching calls with my Intentionally Brave Entrepreneur members, is I say, thank you for letting me be on the journey with you. It's your journey. I just get to hang out, which is so cool. Yeah, thank you so much for being here. This was really fun. Where can folks check you out and learn more about you if they want to, Helen?
Thank you, Heather. It was really great to be here. People can find me at helentremethic.com, on Instagram at helentremethic, or in my free Facebook book. Free Facebook group, Love and Badassery.
Again, I totally dig that name. And also, I can do it, Helen Tremethic.
That's me.
I did it right.
I did it right. I sure did.
See, y'all, I can learn and do better. I love it. Y'all, I hope you enjoyed this conversation as much as I did. I'd like to hear what your call-out moments were. What really connected with you? What made you laugh? What made you feel part of something bigger than you? Give us a call at 312-646-0205, or you can tell us what it means for you to be becoming, to be on the journey, to be part of the process of growing into yourself. I want to hear all about it. And if you're really into this idea of choosing bravely, of saying fuck fearless and doing the hard, scary thing anyway, all of that fun stuff, we do that in the Brave on Purpose Facebook group. And I would love to have you come out, hang out with us. It's free and it's fun, and it's an incredible community of people just like you who are making the brave leap every single day. Just go to Facebook, search Brave on Purpose, and I hope we will get a chance to see you there. I love having you here with me. I will see you again next Thursday. Thanks so much. This is Heather Vickery reminding you today and every single day to go out and choose bravely. Hey, friends, I want to share something really exciting with you. We already know you enjoy listening to podcasts because you're listening to this one, but I'm also betting you enjoy audiobooks. And hey, listen, if you don't already enjoy audiobooks, then it's time to check them out. That's why I'm really excited to share Libro.fm with you. They are an incredible new platform for listening to audiobooks. And by choosing Libro.fm over other audiobook services, you are supporting a local bookstore of your choice and investing in your local community. Libro.fm offers over 150,000 audiobooks via their primary platform, which, by the way, they built with love and from scratch because they're a small business also. They even offer bookseller recommendations for great audiobook options. You can sign up right now via www.vickeryandco.com/librofm. That's vickeryandco.com/librofm. And when you do, you'll get one free audiobook of your choice, and the proceeds will go to your favorite local bookstore. Now, check what I just said there. You're going to get a free book, and the proceeds are still going to go to your local bookstore because Libro.fm makes sure that their booksellers get paid even when they give a promo to customers. I've listened to over 20 audiobooks this year alone. I especially love listening to memoirs read by the author, and it feels great knowing that all of my purchases support my local bookstore, The Book Table, in Oak Park, Illinois. Libro.fm. The same audiobooks, the same price, but a completely different story. Check them out right now at vickeryandco.com/librofm. Have you ever thought about starting a podcast? Maybe you've had this thought and then quickly shut it down because who has the time? Or you don't know how, or gosh, it just all seems too hard. If you have something to share with the world, we want to encourage you to get your message out. The world needs to hear it. Did you know that 50% of all homes are podcast fans? If you've ever wondered about having your own podcast or how it can increase your business or get your message across, then please join me and the other experts from the Podcast Power Academy for our monthly free Q&A session. It's called So You Want to Start a Podcast? This casual live conversation will help you understand how podcasting can be a great decision, why now is the best time to get started, and how to get into action with it. Visit podcastpoweracademy.com to learn more. You've been listening to The Brave Files, stories of people living courageously. To learn more about the show, find our show notes and full episode transcripts, or to get some great bonus content, visit thebravefilespodcast.com. And we would love to know what you think of the show. You can give us a call at 312-646-0205. Let us know your thoughts on the episode, the show in general, or maybe share with us how you're out choosing bravely. This episode is brought to you by Vickery and Co. Success Coaching. Coaching that helps you maintain a life well-lived and a business well-run. Learn more at vickeryandco.com. Our music was created and produced in a custom collaboration with Matt Lewis from ML Creative Consulting, a boutique firm dedicated to helping clients identify their unique sound and amplify their brand with custom delivered soundtracks. We couldn't do any of this without our extraordinary audio engineer, Andrew Olson. Learn more about him and check out his work at findandrewolson.com. And special thanks to everyone on Team Brave, from our producers, associate producers, copy editors, writers, and support team. Special thanks to Molly, Mary, Kim, Sabra, and Sabrina. I'm your host and executive producer, Heather Vickery. Thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you next week.